Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om, please repeat, Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kanamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Patakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostate Tapchakanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Prishabana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary, Srila Prabhupada, chapter 6, Jnan Yoga, text today is number 33. Atma Pamyena Savatra. Saman Pashyati Arjuna Sukham Vayadi Vadukam Sayogi Paramomata Atma Pamyena Savatra Samya Pashyati Arjuna Sukham vayadi vadukam Sayogi paramomata Atmo pamyena savatra Samam pashyati arjuna Sukham vayadi vadukam Sayogi paramomata Okay. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and distress, O Arjuna. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and distress, O Arjuna. Purport Srila Prabhupada. One who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. The cause of the distress of the living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all activities of the human being. Krishna is the proprietor of all lands and planets. The perfect yogi is the sincerest friend of all living entities. He knows that the living entity who is conditioned by the modes of material nature is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. Because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world, and he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Na tasmad kaschid me priyakritamaha. In other words, a devotee of the Lord always looks to the welfare of all living entities, and in this way he is factually the friend of everyone. He is the best yogi because he does not desire perfection in yoga for his personal benefit, but tries for others also. He does not envy his fellow living entities. Here is a contrast between a pure devotee of the Lord and a yogi interested only in his personal elevation. The yogi who has withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as a devotee who is trying his best to turn every man toward Krishna consciousness. Mukham kro jiva chalam pangam laite grim yad kripatamaham vande shri guru na dinatharanam Atmo pamyena sarvatra saman pasyati yorjuna sukam va yadi va dukam sa yogi paramo mataha. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and distress. O Arjuna. Yes. So Prabhupada says something very interesting there in the purport. You see that? Because he picked up on this, both in their happiness and distress. So in the material world, people are in this duality, happiness, distress. But Prabhupada puts it very succinctly. The cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God, with Krishna. And so that's the distress. In the material world, people, because of the Maya Shakti, they're separated in consciousness from Krishna. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all activities of the human being. Did you see that? So happiness is forget a relationship with the Supreme Lord. And the cause of happiness, Prabhupada just doesn't say remembering Krishna. But he says, because he said forgetfulness is distress. But if we remember Krishna, yes, knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all activities of the human being. Yeah, Krishna is the proprietor. So, this is very significant. Prabhupada didn't say just remembering Krishna. He said knowing Krishna in this particular aspect, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. That's very interesting. So, in this context, Prabhupada has brought, we know that Krishna is Paramparush. Purusha means enjoyer, supreme enjoyer. So Prabhupada doesn't say the Purushottam, the supreme person or the supreme power, but the supreme enjoyer. Yes. So the point is, in the spiritual world, everyone is offering their activities for Krishna's enjoyment. In the material world, because of forgetfulness, they are performing activities for their own enjoyment, right? They're working hard in a karmic mentality, or they're studying books of knowledge because they want to get knowledge for themselves. Karmi is working maybe to get some money through business or through labor. And in this way, Everyone is performing all sorts of activities for their own self, to enjoy for themselves, because they're forgetting their relationship with Krishna. So that relationship, what Prabhupada is pointing here is that we are meant to give pleasure to Krishna. Just like material example, some people have children in this world, right? They have children. Why? Because they want to have the enjoyment of having children, right? They may find out that it's also a mixed blessing, because there's a lot of stress in bringing up children in the material world. But they want to enjoy having children. They have one child, they have another, oh, let's have another child. So they want to enjoy. So the material example, but Krishna, the whole creation, we were talking about this last Sunday in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It begins by saying Radha and Krishna are one, but they have separated themselves eternally. Why? To enjoy the bliss of pastimes. So the creation is for enjoyment. Just like in this material world, we have a house, a wife and children, and some land and some position in society. Why? To enjoy. People want to enjoy. Have a nice car, a nice hun, this. But this is trying to be a competitor of Krishna. Everyone in this material world is trying to be the competitor. They're forgetting their relationship with Krishna as his part and parcel, and they're trying to be Krishna in that sense. They're trying to be the Parama Purush, the supreme enjoyer in this material world. Huh? So therefore they want to be the prime minister, or they want to win the league table, or they want to become the richest man. Huh? And then all these competitions, like they just had the Olympics, everyone wants to have the gold medal. No one wants the silver medal, they want the gold medal. When they're interviewed, they don't say, oh, when I was a child, I dreamed of getting the silver medal. They say, no, I dreamed of getting the gold medal. So, in this material world, people want to be the number one. Why? Because they are part and parcel of Krishna, they are also spirit, and they are superior to the material energy, right? The soul. Soul is superior to the material energy. It is here for his enjoyment, in the material sense. But it is foreign to the living entity. It is not spirit. It is not ras. It is dead, like the material body. It is a dead energy. It doesn't have enjoyment in it. Just like in the shop, there may be a model, but it's made of clay, or plastic, or a picture. It's not the real thing. So this material energy, it cannot be enjoyed because it is imitation of the real spiritual energy. But because we are forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna, we try to enjoy. But Krishna explains, if you want to be, Prabhupada here, if you want to be happy, you have to understand that Krishna is the enjoyer. And that is in the Bhagavatam, we are taught that, right? that when the gopis, they see Krishna, or when Krishna plays the flute, the gopis go to not enjoy Krishna in a selfish way, but because they hear, oh, Krishna wants to take our service, Krishna wants our association, let's go there and please Krishna. They're not going there for themselves, but they're going there to serve Krishna. So in the spiritual consciousness, people are giving enjoyment, but in the material consciousness they're trying to take it. Just like Krishna says in the Gita here that of all yajna, he is the chanting. So we can chant for our own self, thinking, oh, I will get liberation, I will get freedom from suffering. Or we can chant for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is the spiritual consciousness. To chant and even to take prasad, like we sing every morning, the fourth verse, Chaturvidha Bhajan. There's four kinds of foodstuffs, and when the spiritual master sees the disciple taking nice prasadam, he feels pleasure. So we can take prasadam thinking, spiritual master is pleased, Krishna is pleased. Or we can take prasadam for me, I want to enjoy. So in the spiritual consciousness, we are doing things with the understanding that Krishna and his pure devotees, they are the object of our service, and we want to give them pleasure. Just like the gopis, when they went to see Krishna, they wanted to please Krishna. And then it is explained, the acharyas have explained, that when Krishna sees the gopis, he feels pleasure to see them. And then when the gopis see that Krishna feels pleasure, they feel pleasure. Because they see, oh, Krishna is pleased to see us. So they feel pleasure. So in the spiritual world, pleasure is not the goal in a selfish way, but it's an effect of pleasing Krishna. You see? And then when Krishna sees that they're feeling pleasure, he feels more pleasure. So in the spiritual world, people are reciprocating in this way. They're exchanging pleasure unselfishly in a mood of service to the other. But in the material world, people are self-centered. So they're always trying to gain pleasure and use the other person for their own pleasure. And therefore they try to control, to exploit. People want to control in the material world so that they can enjoy. They, just like the dog in the road, they make a gang, and this is our part of the road, and all the things in this area we will enjoy, and if you come in my area we'll bark and fight. So they want to enjoy, they want to control this part of the street. So people, they have their own house and they put up a wall. But in Vrindavan, there's no walls to keep out thieves. Because no one's trying to be a big controller to enjoy. Everything is, for everyone is open-hearted. They want to give. But in this material world, people are always trying to control this material energy so that they can enjoy it. If you come inside my house and you take one stone off the path I will fight you. So in the spiritual world, the consciousness is completely different. So by the grace of Prabhupada, by the grace of Guru, we can understand that consciousness and try to cultivate it in the period of sadhana. Understand? That we shouldn't come to Krishna consciousness to get happiness. No. We become happy by pleasing Guru. Just like Guru says, follow regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. So that's his order, and study, and oh, more than chant 16 rounds, of course, but that is beginning platform. So if we follow that, then we feel pleasure in the heart. Why? Because Guru is pleased. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada na katika topi. That by serving Guru, then Krishna is pleased. And then when Krishna is pleased, we get the mercy of Krishna. Guru Krishna prasade bhai bhakti latabhi. So we're not at the neophyte stage, when we're still within the material consciousness, we may think, oh, Krishna consciousness, I'll get free of the material world. This is Jnana Mishra Bhakti, I want liberation. Or I'll live in the temple and I'll get good food. Karma Mishra Bhakti, mixed with desire for material enjoyment or desire for liberation. But that is not the goal of bhakti, nor is it really pure. Just like if somebody serves unselfishly, you take more pleasure in that service. But if the servant is, say, I need a glass of water, and somebody says, yes, and they give it with an open heart, then you feel, thank you. But if they think, oh, I have to go and get the water, why don't you get it yourself? So if we serve, we have to serve in the mood of the spiritual world. And through Guru, through Parampara, we understand. There are so many, this chapter is about Jnana Yoga. There are so many societies, philosophical societies, this society, that society. And they're all discussing what is God, what is the nature of God. And they can talk like that for a million years. But they'll never come to the understanding without the grace of Guru. You cannot understand the spiritual world with the material mind. But if you apply your consciousness to the instructions and the guidance and the knowledge coming in Guru Parampara, then you can understand very quickly. You can understand that in the material world people are trying to enjoy for their own benefit. But in the spiritual world, everyone is self-satisfied, but they are giving pleasure to Krishna and Krishna's devotees out of love. Just like a woman, she has a child. She looks after the child for the child's benefit. Material example again. She's sleeping, but the child wants food. So she forgets her own sleep to look after the child. She doesn't care, oh, I'll have a headache. No, she thinks, oh, the child, let me look after the child. So this material example. So in the spiritual world, people are serving Krishna not from any personal motivation. And then they become happy. Like Prabhupada said there in the purport, the cause of happiness is understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all activities. So So everything is meant to be performed for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna and Vaishnava. As Narottam puts it, Hari Guru Vaishnava. Hari means Radha Krishna, Guru, one's spiritual teachers, and the Vaishnavas. And this is the real spiritual consciousness. And this is what's described in all the bhakti literature. This is what Prabhupada is trying to make us understand. And you could spend 1 million years trying to speculate here and there, like so many philosophers they have in the West. They didn't know a thing, actually, if you study their philosophy. They're just thinking that ideas are the real thing. And that was Plato. Plato thought that beyond this world there is ideas, and that is the real goal. But then Aristotle said, well, ideas are there, but this is the real world. So he had a more scientific view. So these are considered great big philosophers. You know, the materialistic people, they're reading Aristotle. Oh, he's very clever. But it had absolutely nothing to do. Absolutely no spiritual knowledge. They're just speculating. They see this world, they see the material objects, and they see also that man has a kind of mental world full of ideals, truth, beauty. But they don't know anything beyond that. Why? Because Guru Parampara is not there. Vedic knowledge is not there. But we know what is truth, what is beauty. It is not an abstract noun, you know, just an idea. It is the emanation of Krishna. Krishna is the absolute truth. Krishna is the reservoir of beauty. And his devotees, they partake of all that reservoir. But they only partake, you can only partake in your natural condition. You give pleasure to Krishna and Krishna gives pleasure to you. So if we can understand that, then we are creating the spiritual consciousness. This consciousness is there within the soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sarakabanai. Nitya Siddha is there. This unselfish consciousness is there in the soul. It is not acquired from outside. It is not a mental thing. But because we don't have, because we turned away from Krishna and we're forgetful of Krishna, we don't think about this. We just think, me. But Shravanadi Sudachitte, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, then this spiritual consciousness awakens naturally. Because we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are all meant to serve Krishna. Just like this finger, Prabhupada would always give the example of the finger. This finger is meant to serve the body. If this finger tries to enjoy a cake, he cannot enjoy. But if he's serving the cake, the whole body, then he can enjoy the effect of that service. So if you water the root of the tree, Prabhupada would say, then the tree is satisfied. So when the living entity, he tries to serve the Supreme Lord, then he becomes satisfied automatically. But that is not his motivation in the pure state. At the beginning, yes, we may come to bhakti because we're fed up with the material world. That's not bad. Or we want knowledge. Or we want to be more healthy. We want to get away from all this Kali Yuga life. That is good. But the real thing is to cultivate the idea of satisfying Guru and Krishna. Then the heart becomes satisfied. And in the 8th chapter, Attaining the Supreme, it explained there, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, tan tan, whatever your bhava, your mood is at the time of death, you will go there. If you want to enjoy, you will stay in this material world. And you will enjoy as a dog in the street, or a politician, or an Olympic athlete, or a tiger, or a bird in the sky. And that because you want to make the world around yourself. But if we can awaken the spiritual consciousness through chanting, through studying about Krishna, through satisfying Guru, through cultivating this attitude of service, then even in this body, in this life, we get the mood of a transcendental person. We get the mood of the residents of Vrindavan that we see in the Krishna book, in the Bhagavatam. They are serving Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. And they are all immersed in Leela with Krishna. But everyone is thinking, Jivera Swarupoi Nichera Krishna Das. Everyone is thinking, let Krishna be pleased. They all have prema, Krishna prema. They have prema for Krishna. They love Krishna, so they all fixed upon Krishna. So that is the natural condition of the soul. When the soul is in this way, then he's kripana. And he begins to discriminate. Oh, this is good, this is bad. Just like in the rest of this verse, he's a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings. This is the other first point. That the yogi, he doesn't think, I am better and this person is lower. Because perfect yogi, he knows, I am soul. The dog is a soul also. The tree, there is a soul there. This person, that person, they are all spirit souls. So we are all equal. Whereas the material person who's trying to enjoy thinks this person will help my enjoyment and this person will stop my enjoyment, right? This is my friend and this is my enemy, because he will help my enjoyment and this person will not help. Just like people get married. And, oh, I love the wife. But then they don't serve each other. They don't give pleasure to each other. And then they start to dislike each other. They start to fight. So, in this material world, because everyone is in this selfish way, they all have all this mentality of what is good, what is bad, what is my friend, what is my enemy. But in Bhagavatam we see Prahlad Maharaj, right? What is it? Sunanda and Ataka, his gurus, they were teaching him political science. And he told them, I don't like this, all this talk about friends and enemies. No, because Prahlad was a devotee. So he saw everyone is servant of Krishna. Everyone is spirit soul. Of course, in this part of the Bhagavatam, Krishna, Arjuna, In the next verse, he says, O Madhusudan, this system of yoga, which you have summarized, seeing everything equal, is impractical and unendurable, for the mind is restless and unsteady. So yes, in this jhana yoga, where people use the Ashtanga yoga, the goal is to be detached from Maya and to see, not see good and bad, but to see equality. But how long you can do that? And especially Arjuna, he's on the battlefield. Is he going to think that Yudhisthira and Duryodhana are the same? That they are equal? No. He's got to think, this is my enemy. I have to fight. So he says, this is not practical. But Krishna says, no, Arjuna, actually it is possible to see in this way by detachment and constant practice. So in this context, this kind of yoga depends on that. Because usually the mind is pulled by the senses. But by detachment, understanding, I'm not this body, then you can become less pulled by the senses. And then you can meditate on the Supreme Lord. And that is abhyasyena, that is the practice. That's what Krishna says. You can see in this equal way if you become detached from material enjoyment and you fix your mind on spirit. But this is a lesser level of yoga, because we don't want to just become attached to spirit in an impersonal way. We want to be attached to spirit in a personal way, in our relationship to the transcendental world. And to enter that realm in our spiritual relationship with Krishna, we have to have this unselfish mentality of service. The yogi, he may sit there and meditate on spirit or the super soul in shantaras, without the attitude of affection and service coming from affection. He will sit there and meditate on the form. But that is impersonal meditation. That cannot bring us to Golok Vrindavan, Gokul Vrindavan, the Bhoma-lila. We have to become absorbed in the active service of the spiritual world. But in this chapter, it is jnana yoga, Ashtanga yoga. So because the Gita summarizes all forms of yoga, it is mentioned here. And Arjuna says, well, it's not very practical or it's unendurable. But Krishna says, no, Arjuna, if you practice, what is that practice? It is to put the mind on Krishna. That is the basic thing of yoga. Not to contemplate the material things, to be detached, and instead contemplate the spiritual world. That is the basic thing of yoga. Detachment from Maya, attachment to spirit. But the highest aspect of spirit is the Leela of Krishna, the Golok Leela, the Gokul Leela. So Lord Chaitanya has taught us that we should become absorbed in the activities of the transcendental world. And therefore the Bhagavatam teaches the activities of the spiritual world. So a devotee, he takes the essence of this chapter and becomes detached. It is explained in the Shruti that the body is like a chariot. The senses are like the horses. The mind is like the reins. The intelligence is like the driver. and the consciousness floods over the whole chariot. So the horses are pulling the mind, the reins, or the reins can pull the horses. So when we want to enjoy Maya, the horses are pulling us. They want a destination. That means the destination is the sense object. The horses pull to a place in this material world. So the senses want a destination. Nice things to eat, nice things to touch, nice things to smell. They want to go to a destination. But with the intelligence, the driver, he pulls the reins. You understand? The buddhi controls the manas. So with intelligence, we pull on the mind to not let the senses go to matter. And then we fix the mind on the consciousness, on Supreme Spirit. So this is the basic principle of all yoga. Lord Chaitanya has taught that the best method in Kali Yuga is by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the mind may wander off, but we pull it back onto spirit. But particularly we don't want to meditate on just super soul or impersonal Brahma Jyoti. We want to meditate on the activities of the spiritual world. And we should try to realize those relationships, how they are unselfish, like we're discussing in today's class. Because that will inspire us. And we learn to be unselfish. We chant for the pleasure of Guru, for the pleasure of Krishna. We go to see the deities for the pleasure of Krishna. You go to the temple to give pleasure to Krishna. Why? Because all the living entities, Krishna says, I am in the Gita, Aham Mata, Aham Pita. I am the mother and father of all living entities. So when Krishna sees his children, he is pleased. If the children go to see the father and mother take pleasure. So when we go to the temple, we can think, I will give pleasure to Krishna. So therefore it is in the Bhakti Shastra, you should dress clean clothes and should go nicely. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we think, I'm giving pleasure to Guru because he's given me the order to chant. So I'm satisfying Guru and I'm satisfying Krishna. Krishna says, Yajnanam, Japa Yajnanam. Of all yajna, the highest is japa. So you can perform yajna, right? Karma means you perform a yajna because I want to go to Swargaloka. I want the result. I'm worshipping Vishnu, but I want to go to Swargaloka. I want mystic powers. Or you can perform like Prithu Maharaj. You get a yajna and you to please Vishnu. So same thing is with japa. We can chant with the attitude of serving Krishna or ourselves. And just like Dhruva, he was worshipping Krishna. I want a kingdom. Right? So that is Karma Mishra Bhakti. But when he eventually saw Krishna, he thought, I don't want a kingdom. I want just your service. Right? So he became purified. So similarly, by Guru Parampara, all this knowledge Prabhupada is giving us, the essence of Lord Chaitanya, Six Goswamis, and by the grace of just a few lines in his purports, we can understand everything about the spiritual world. That they are unselfish. They're not concerned with their own self. And if we can cultivate that mood in the execution of our activities here, then we become ready to associate with Krishna more directly. You see? So we perform our sadhana, our service, for the pleasure of Krishna. And then we feel pleasure as a side effect. And more pleasure than if that is our primary goal. You understand the point? If we're chasing it, then we're still creeping out. We're still in this mood. Ah, I want to make a deal with Krishna. I'll do this, but I want that. Then no pleasure, you see. The spiritual world, everyone has got unlimited pleasure, but they're not concerned. Just like Daruka, in the nectar of devotion, he was fanning Krishna and enjoying the service, feeling pleasure. But then he felt ecstasy and he couldn't fan Krishna properly because he was... So he prayed, take away this pleasure because it's interrupting my service. Right? So that is the bhakta. Pleasure is side effect. You don't have to be concerned about that. And similarly, Krishna, his pleasure is to give pleasure to his devotees. Huh? He is the source of all pleasure, reservoir of all pleasure. So he's got no pleasure to get, but his pleasure is to give happiness to his devotees. So this is the purity in the spiritual world. And this is the equality of all living beings. Everyone is meant for that. But people are thinking, this material world, I am low, and this is low, and she is that, and he is that, and this, you see. And they stay in the material world with this idea. Huh? So we are all sadhakas. We should understand the spiritual consciousness and try to create that in our practice when we're chanting is a perfect way. Just like we go to class, why? To please Krishna. We go to aarti to please Krishna. We take prasad to please Krishna. That is the spiritual consciousness. So, we'll finish on that point. Any question? Yeah? Huh? Yeah, it's the emanation. Yeah, just like, question is consciousness part of the soul? Well, the example is given that just like there is a sun, and it is emanating sunlight. So the soul is emanating consciousness. So the soul is never contaminated, but the consciousness becomes mixed with the three modes of material nature, and on the basis of forgetting Krishna, becomes entangled. That's why it says that the soul is never cut or damaged or in any way, but the consciousness, which is amazing to think, because you think of all the criminals in the 20th century, all the murderers and evil people, you know, that killed and made wars. Actually, their soul is still pure, but the consciousness is polluted. So thereby, by touching spirit through chanting in this spiritual way, then the consciousness becomes pure. Even the most sinful person can become devotee.
Ekmalati is the other. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, he is true quality of all beings.
Yeah.
So, in comparison to own self-character, it is Brahma Asmi who shows super soul in all.
Excuse me? Yeah, the soul is Brahman.
In comparison to own self.
Yeah, that means that you and me, we're equal.
We are all Brahmasmi.
Yeah, we're all Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi, yeah.
So he sees, Brahmasmi sees Paramatma in all beings.
Huh?
Paramatma in all beings.
Yes, Paramatma is the soul of the soul.
We arrive, realize in own self and in Paramatma and in Bhagavan. We see Bhagavan in the form in Brahmasmi.
Oh yeah, Paramatma. Yes, you can say yes, because each soul is an expansion of Krishna. You understand? Just like the finger, if I say, what is this finger? You can, or I just point and I say, what is this? You can say, it is your finger. Or you can say, it is your body. Right? So the soul, you can say, it is individual soul, but you can also say it's part of Krishna. Huh? So everything is Krishna in one sense, Paramatma, Brahman, the soul. But the finger is not the complete body. It is part. So the soul is eternally individual. He never becomes Krishna, but he is the Angsa, Jiva Bhuta Angsa, part, eternally. But he's the same quality. That is something, that we are the same quality as Krishna. But Krishna is like a huge fire and we are a spark. Spark and fire the same, but the quantity is different. So quality is the same. That is why we can relate to Krishna directly. You see, because we are the same quality. You see. But now we are forgetting Krishna, and because of our small size, Maya has covered our consciousness. Our consciousness has become polluted. But the pollution never reaches the soul. The soul is always pure, but by identifying with the consciousness. So therefore we can understand that when we feel unhappy or angry, or we should understand this is the consciousness and I should purify my consciousness. And so that's why Krishna says, oh, this may seem very hard, but it's possible by constant practice and detachment. So if we chant and we study and we do service every day, then the mind becomes purified. And we realize the spiritual nature of everything in relationship to Krishna. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Yeah.